Brother Wes Anderson and his wife Iris here tonight. They have been doing a great work with the Downtown Church of Christ just north of us in Kansas City. They've been working with them since 1988. And I thought about just telling you of all the good that they do, but I thought, well, he's going to tell us about that. So here's what I want to tell you about Brother Wes. Haven't known Brother Wes very long. He and I were introduced last year. Several folks from the Westlink family spoke very highly of him and his work there. And I was honored to be able to meet him when Northside began supporting him. But then our lives took a bit of a detour, as you know, last year. Brother Wes was diligent about faithfully checking in, sending a message on Messenger or through text message about Christy. And on the day she was in surgery, while I was waiting as a Wichitan in Kansas City, as I was waiting there in the lobby for news from the surgeon, it was Brother Wes who came to visit. And his company meant a great deal to me. When you're in a situation like that, you know the fellowship, the encouragement that you have of being brothers in Christ. And though you serve in different capacities and different locations, it's the Lord Jesus that brings us together. So who you have speaking to you tonight is a good man doing a good work faithfully. I know Northside's behind you 100%, and we are pleased to hear about the work. But I'm more excited to know you as a brother and as a friend. And I appreciate you and Iris very much and glad that you are with us this evening. As we begin, I'd like to open us with another word of prayer, and then Brother Wes can come up and give us an update on the good work. Father in heaven, we are grateful to be in your presence tonight, grateful to have shared in fellowship and worship today with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and not just here at 4545 North Meridian, but with many around the world that we support both in prayer and in pocketbook. We're grateful for the missionaries who do their work so faithfully and diligently and often without much accolade, but we as a congregation desire to be a supporting, sending congregation. And we pray for not only the men and women who serve in that capacity, but also the people that they serve. Reminds us that the family is much larger than any one congregation. Father, we're grateful for that and for the reminder of the Great Commission, that we should always be on mission. We pray that you'll bless Brother Wes tonight in his word, and not only in his word tonight, but in his work continuing with the Downtown Church of Christ. We pray this in the name of your Son and our Savior. Amen. Brother Wes.
Well, good evening. First of all, I want to again thank this congregation for your vision, for your willingness to help missions throughout the world. Thank you for understanding the power of Matthew 28, 18 through 20. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, after he got up from the grave, he said, "All power and authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. So go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." That's not just a nice verse to memorize, but actually it's the mission that's been given to the church. And I'm glad that you're a part of that mission. And I'm glad to be a part of it as well. Hey, Dwayne, how you doing? I miss talking to you this morning. I'd like for you to go with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I'll meet you in verse 35, because what I want to express tonight really comes from the heart of these verses. The Bible says that Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of harvest to send out workers into his harvest." That verse always grabs me because it's the very heart of the ministry of Jesus. Sick people. People who are dispirited. These are hopeless people. These are people who are mentally ill, physically ill. These are people without the resources in life to keep life going. And it's where we find ourselves in the heart of Kansas City. On the east side in particular, where we are dealing with people who are dispirited. People who feel that there's just no hope. I know that we have problems throughout the world, and there are probably places that are worse than where we work. But I want to share with you the inner workings of what happens at the downtown congregation. I want to talk about the hardships. I want to take you in with me to see what we deal with. I want you to see the human carnage. I want you to see the people who feel that there's just no hope. But we know that Jesus is the answer to every human ill. There's always a need to be met. We often find ourselves in situations where we get lied to a lot. You ever been lied to? And it's the same story over and over again. It's where people are hustling and they will lie just to get a dollar. I had a man one day stop by and he said, "Who is the pastor here?" You know, that's just the word they use. And he wanted to quickly identify who that guy is. I said, I'm the one. What do you need?" He said, "Listen, Pastor, my mother down in Miami, she got her head blown off, and I need $178 for a ticket to catch the bus to go to the funeral." I said, "Well, we need to verify that there is, in fact, a situation like that in Miami." He said, "Well, that's okay. That's okay. I got to go. So he quickly runs out the door. A month later, he came back and wanted to know who the pastor was. And he said, Pastor, my mother got her head blown off, and I need you to give me $178 to get to Miami." I said, "Now, wait a minute. Your mother got her head blown off in Miami." I said, "Did they put it back on?" because you were just here last month. And again, he ran out the door. We're constantly being lied to by people that hustle you. And you have to be street smart. And you have to work with members who are street smart, who know the lingo that people speak to find out if the story is true or if people are just trying to get over. Because as stewards of God's heritage, we have to make sure that we're trying to do the right thing with God's money. Doing ministry in an area where people are hustling, in an area where it is crime infested, the church has to be up on her game. We have to know who's coming in the door. We have to be vigilant, and we have had to put together a security team. As a matter of fact, as I stand here, I'm waiting on a call back from one of the officers in Kansas City that will provide for us again for the third time active shooter training. So we have active shooter training once a year to make sure that we are prepared in the area that we work in. Because we work in an area that is a culture of death. When I say a culture of death, our young people don't mind dying. How does that sound? They don't mind dying. And they have no fear of death. So when I preach the gospel and I talk about, you know, heaven and hell, they're not afraid. They're not afraid to go to hell. It used to be a time, and some of you may remember this, when gospel preachers would preach what was called fire, hell, and brimstone messages. That used to get to people. That doesn't bother young people anymore. They don't fear that. Doing ministry in a crime-infested neighborhood brings about a great deal of PTSD, not only for your members, but also for our leadership. Where when you are worshiping, you constantly are wondering, what's the next thing that's going to happen? There are times when we hear gunfire ring out while we're worshiping. And people began to wonder what's happening. So what have we done about this? And how do we try to keep safe in the inner city? I put together a plan for active shooter training. I put together a plan for fire drills and tornado drills. And we're taking the congregation through all three of those drills on an annual basis. I have to come up with a code word annually for if there's an active shooter that comes into the building, what is the code word for this year? And all the members must know it. If you hear me shout out, bread of life, bread of life, everybody's supposed to hit the deck. Because that's the code word for this year. Next year, it could be a different phrase. But we're having to take the congregation through this on an annual basis so that they understand how we can keep them safe. Let me tell you what the downtown work is not. We kind of got into a little bit of the thing about the crime infestation. But the downtown work is not a long-term opportunity that most young preachers want to get into. Did you hear what I said? It's not a long-term opportunity that young preachers want to come to. So I've been there for over 25 years. And the question is always, who's going to take my place when it's all said and done? What most young preachers want today, and there could be some exceptions, but they want to go to works that are already established. They want to go to works that already have elders and deacons. They don't want to crawl before they walk. But they want to go to congregations that are well established. Most people that come and visit downtown that are members of the church, they stop by, they visit for a little bit, and then they're on their way. Why is that? There's a lot of work here to be done. We see it. You all are dealing with a lot of situations here. And I want something that's already ready. Those are members of the church that may come from different cities, and they're checking us out. They go on. They go on to congregations that already have elders and deacons. We've had elders one time at downtown, I believe back in 2013. We've had elders, myself and another older gentleman, he passed away. But it was in the first inception of having elders back in 2013. He passed away, matter of fact, just last year. But he had already been gone before then because sickness took him down very quickly. We are hoping to have elders again. But I can't just pick anybody. I have to select men who already have that character. They're not coming to run for office, okay? But they need to already be doing that work and have that character. So that's one thing I want you to put on your list to pray for. What else is the downtown work not? It's not a high-profile ministry for you to come and get noticed. It's not that kind of work. It's not an issue-oriented work where you guys have issues after issues. You have more than one song leader. You have this and that. You guys have to wear a tie, or they would be in trouble if they came here, because I know a lot of you don't wear ties. But we're not an issue-oriented. Just come work. Come serve. That's what we're about. We're not about trying to make up a bunch of issues. And so it's not that place where you're going to come and be a star in the ministry. But it is that place where you can come and work and get dirty. That's what characterizes the ministry of Jesus. Going into places where there's sick people. Going into places where people are hurting. Going into places where parents don't know what to do with that sick child, that sick husband or wife. In the last month, we have had three youth that have been killed. One was 5 years old that got a hold of his parents' 9mm gun and shot themselves. The other one was 12 years old. In walking distance from our building, it takes about 4 minutes to get there. 27th and Quincy. And you know who that 12-year-old was? That 12-year-old was a great-grandson of one of our members. Now, how do you tell people that God is good and God wants to help you in the midst of all this, and they're constantly seeing this tragedy? The other one was a 21-year-old male. Just in the last month, we're burying a lot of our kids. Our funeral homes tell us that they are burying more of our children 25 years and under than any other age bracket. So we're losing a lot of our young people. How do you explain to your congregation that God is still alive and in the midst of all these tragedies? How do you give hope to people who are dispirited, people who just don't know what to do, and people who feel even suicidal after losing their loved one? How do you express to a person that, you know, you really need Christ in your life with all this going on? How do you expect them to get up and go to worship after all this happens? When many of them feel that the church is not doing me any good. How do you funeralize a 5-year-old baby that kills himself because some parent was too careless to put their weapon up? How do you answer a member who says, "Can you go see my son? Can you go see my brother? He was shot in the stomach. I'd like for you to go and pray with him." These are things that did not prepare me at the Sunset School of Preaching. They don't prepare you for that. I walk in the room of a male that was 38 years old. I knock on the door and walk in. They say, "Come in." And I look down at a person's midsection and I can see their intestines with plastic over it as they are preparing for surgery. How do you prepare for that? You don't forget things like that. Could you pray for him? Sure can. You don't forget the smell of that when you walk in that room and you walk out. How do you instill hope into a helpless heart? And how does a preacher that goes into these areas, how does he sustain himself? I don't mind telling you, I started off at $22,000 a year with a young family. Can't you go get a higher paying job? Why would you put your family through that? Because I love the people. You can't, man, that income is too low for you to do that on. Well, thank God my wife was working too. How do you do that? No health insurance, because the church can't afford it, and no dental. Well, it was just a few years ago, I was making $35,000. That's still low, isn't it? And just recently got another raise. Now it's up to $38,000. Shouldn't a guy like me be making much more? But why do you stay there? There was a time when a past leadership just wanted me, "Keep office hours, keep office hours, keep office hours." Man, that's tough. I got to do something in addition to help take care of my family. I need to go get some more work. I began to work with the Kansas City, Kansas public school system, try to help make ends meet. I think I'll probably die at this work. Because we love the people. My wife and I have often said, you know, this is a time in our ministry whether people are really serious, the people really want to work. They really do see the vision of God here. People aren't arguing, they just want to serve. And it's a great feeling to have. So you have to become a tent maker sometime. Not feel sorry for yourself. You don't want other people to feel sorry for you. Because you believe in what you do. Because this is the work that God has given you to help you go and spread a message. We sang it tonight. True and glad for the sinful and the sad. That work needs to be in the east side of Kansas City. Because people need hope. Well, what is the downtown work? It's a place of love. I can tell you that. Our theme for 2004 is love first. We love people before they even hit the door. It's going to be love first. Members who are struggling, it's going to be love first. We need to take up an offering for you. It's love first. Even if it's $283, we're going to take it up. Because there is a need that's greater than ourselves. We are a beacon of light to human suffering. That's what downtown is. We're feeding hundreds of people every month. Every month. We know other people are feeding people. But we have a message to go along with that feeding. What is the downtown work? It's a place where the gospel of Christ is the core of what we do. We're not a social club. We're not just coming to hang out. But we are, in fact, a place where the gospel will be preached. It's a place where you can find something to eat without filling out an application. People don't have to fill out an application. The first thing they ask, do I need to fill out an application? Because there's a lot of red tape. No, the only thing we're required to do is to tell the people where we get the food from is how many we serve. We're still on the 211 call for information of people that need help in your zip code. They can come right to downtown and get something. It's a place where you can find something to wear. And you know, there are people that actually come in the building and don't even ask. They just go get clothes. Don't you think you ought to ask it before you get those clothes? But they just go get clothes because they know we have clothes. By the way, if you have clothes, we need baby clothes. We need clothes for adolescents, clothes for adults. We need clothes. We give them away super fast. Downtown is a place of humility. You're not going to feel like an outsider when you come to downtown. We're going to come sit by you. We recognize you. We recognize that you have been made in the image of Almighty God. And we're willing to share what we have. Well, what can you do to help push this mission? You're already doing it. Number one, you are supplying us with monetary support that will help keep us going. You can also pray that the Lord will raise up young men with the passion to preach. A lot of my young men are not looking to preach anymore. But they're looking at going into college and after college, doing something totally different. We don't have a lot of young men that are going into the ministry. The numbers are mighty, mighty low. Pray for that. You can pray that God will send a burning passion into the heart of his people to go into the harvest. We have an evangelism team. We are struggling with different methods because going door to door now is just not a thing to do. We have a lot of people ringing doorbells and getting shot before they can ask questions. We have to look at other methods. And really the best way through that is through friendship, is through families. Try to help reach people. So the downtown congregation, I think we're going to be all right. We do have a lot of younger families now. By the way, our median age is about 38 to 40 years old. We don't have an extremely old congregation. We have more young people. I'm looking to have some more deacons from that bunch, several young families. But also pray that God will raise up men who will be shepherds, men who really love the people and want to guide and lead and counsel. That's one thing we really need, because God wants to see the church complete in every way. Can I thank you enough for your support? And if you have questions after this is over, please talk with me. And if I don't have the answer, someone does. My wife probably has all the answers. But if I don't have the answers, we'll just think about it and pray about it and try to find some answers. I'm 62 years old. I'm getting older. Now, I know I'm a spring chicken compared to some of the people in here. I haven't even gotten started compared to some of you, but, you know, in the next 8 years, I'll probably be looking at retirement. It could be longer than that. But I just pray that God will help us endure all of the challenges that we face. And I do ask that you pray again about our safety. It's more serious than what you think. We do have a religious group in our area. How many of y'all have heard of the Black Hebrew Israelites? Okay. This group went to one of our sister congregations 3 years ago and would not let them leave physically, and told them that they were listening to a white man's religion, the Bible, and that we were slaves. We knew none of that was true, but this is what was purported by that group. They could come to downtown, and should they come, they're going to meet a serious situation, because our security team means what they say. We don't want any kind of violence. We will call the police department and all that, but this is a very militant group, and they get up in your face. So pray that God will keep us safe as we do his work on the east side of Kansas City. Again, thank you for your monetary support. Thank you for your prayers. If I can answer any questions, please pull my coattail and we'll talk. That's all that I have. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his enduring spirit. While he was on the face of this earth, we thank you for the way that he was able to go into villages and deal with disease, deal with all manner of people who were dispirited. We thank you that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. As he shared the heart of his ministry, the very kingdom of God and how it could envelop a person's life. And Father, we look to Jesus, your Son, as he went about doing good and helping others. We pray that we might have that same attitude as we go through cities and villages and seek to help those who feel that there's just no more hope. Father, guide us and keep us as a church, that we will let the light of the gospel burn bright in our communities, the workplace, the school, our very home, that the world might know that there's truly a Savior that is willing to reach down and lift them up. Father, we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for all that you will do through us to help the kingdom spread in the face of this earth. Guide us and protect us. For we ask this prayer in the name of Jesus, your Son, and our Savior. Amen.